On Tuesday's front page, the Supreme Court ended its term by overturning a ban on selling video games to kids. We'll look at how the court decided the case. Former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich was convicted on 17 counts of corruption, including trying to sell or trade President Obama's Senate seat. And Afghans are worried the Taliban has infiltrated Afghan security forces. We'll look at one man who went from jihadist to soldier and back again. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says the Supreme Court said it's unconstitutional to bar children from buying or renting violent video games. The court said government doesn't have the authority to restrict the ideas children may be exposed to. Times reporter Adam Liptak explains.
The vote was 7-2, although only five justices joined Justice Antonin Scalia's majority opinion, and he made some broad, sweeping statements about the First Amendment. One is that video games are entitled to full First Amendment protection, just like books or movies. A second is that the First Amendment forbids the regulation of violence. It allows the regulation of depictions of sex, of obscenity, but not violence. And third, not even when children are involved. So the Supreme Court in the past has allowed governments not only to regulate obscenity, but to regulate quite broadly the sale of things like what the court called girly magazines to children. Violence is different. Doesn't matter that children are involved. Because this was the last day of the term, many people in the courtroom were paying attention to Justice Elena Kagan, who was finishing her first year on the court. She read a dissent from the bench, her first oral dissent, in a case about campaign finance regulation. Justice Kagan has turned out to be a reliable member of the court's liberal wing, very engaged at argument, and very clear writer.
Times reporter Adam Liptak in Washington. Also on Tuesday's front page, the jury's decision in the corruption case against former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. He was convicted on most of the charges, including trying to sell or trade President Obama's Senate seat. Blagojevich has spent 2.5 years saying he's innocent, first on reality TV shows and later on the witness stand. His lawyers said FBI wiretap recordings were just the ramblings of a politician who liked to think out loud. Blagojevich said after the verdicts were read, he was stunned. A Florida congressman is defying critics on a billion-dollar rail project. Congressman John Mica is the biggest supporter of the new SunRail line. It's not going to connect to the Orlando airport or Disney World, but Mica has spent years badgering federal agencies and bullying state officials. Florida Governor Rick Scott is considering killing the project. He's worried local officials will have to cover shortfalls. In Afghanistan, a man named Akmal went from jihadist to Afghan soldier and back again. He could face the death penalty for his admitted role in a suicide bombing last month that killed 6 people. He says he also helped in another suicide attack in February. Many Afghans worry the Taliban has infiltrated Afghan security forces. NATO officials deny that, but they are bringing in 80 counterintelligence experts to help screen the recruits. New prostate cancer drugs could raise the nation's medical bills. In the last 15 months, the FDA has approved 3 new drugs. Several others are in clinical trials. They're mainly for men with late-stage prostate cancer. They can give patients an extra 2 years or so, but some of the drugs cost more than $90,000 for a full course of treatment. Tuesday's Times looks at the evaluation system for teachers in the nation's capital. Last year, 165 teachers were fired based on evaluations. Next month, as many as 600 more could get bad news. Supporters say the evaluations brought clear teaching standards to a district that didn't have them. But some educators say the evaluation system doesn't help teachers who are struggling. It relies heavily on student test scores to judge about 500 math and reading teachers in grades 4 through 8. Other teachers' ratings are based on classroom observations. Inside Tuesday's Times, Syrian opposition figures met publicly in Damascus for the first time since Syria's anti-government uprising began. Even so, it's still not clear whether the Syrian government is willing to engage the opposition in real dialogue, nor is it clear whether the opposition can provide an alternative to President Bashar al-Assad. The meeting did make clear the opposition still believes the revolt that began 3 months ago won't end until Assad gives up his hold on power. Tuesday's Business Day section says European leaders are inching closer to an agreement that would avoid a default by Greece. Wall Street rallied on a French plan that could serve as a model for taking the pressure off the Greek government while sparing banks big losses. President Nicolas Sarkozy announced the plan in Paris. It calls for rolling over Greek bonds that come due between now and 2014. That'll give Athens more time to pay. French banks also agreed to share the cost of a bailout. Gary Foster was a mid-level accountant at Citigroup collecting $100,000 a year. But prosecutors say he gave himself a big bonus by embezzling more than $19.2 million. That was before the bank's auditors noticed. Foster was arrested as he returned from a trip to Europe and Asia. He pleaded not guilty to bank fraud charges. The UN says that for only the second time in history, a disease has been wiped off the face of the earth. Everybody knows about smallpox. Times reporter Donald McNeil Jr. says this one is rinderpest.
And the reason nobody's ever heard about it is because it's an animal disease. It affects cattle, yaks, buffalo, and it also affects a lot of big game in Africa. It's actually been an incredibly important disease in human history. When it got into Africa with the Italian army in 1887, it wiped out 95% of the cattle and the animals in Africa, and millions of Africans starved. There's a big effort to try to eradicate a bunch of diseases. Most of those efforts are not going very well. So the fact that it's been done twice raises the hope that if two diseases can be gotten rid of, then a third, a fourth, a fifth can eventually be eradicated.
Times reporter Donald McNeil Jr. Some New Yorkers say the heyday of the taxicab was when checkers roamed the streets. One checker still does, but it's not a taxi. Writer Fran Lebowitz paid $9,000 for it in 1978. She says she wanted a Bentley or a Rolls Royce, but she couldn't afford them. Now it's 34 years later. She says she's replaced so many parts in the checker that she's the only original thing left. That's our preview of Tuesday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. From our newsroom in New York, I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.